Town Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Trying to have some fun on a day that hasn't been a ton of fun.
No.
Hasn't been a ton of fun.
No, that was fun.
Let's get through some of these text messages on the text line from the 916 hypothetical question. If the Kings were a play-in team at the end of the year, are they winning those games? That's from Nick. Depends who else is in them, because the Pelicans might be
better
in them.
Oh, my gosh.
The Pelicans might be in them.
No,
here
thanks.
You go, from the 916 as well. For me, watching last night, Fox needs to be way more aggressive to start the game.
Mm.
He got his in the end, but he can't wait so long to get started. Seemed like the rest of the team was good, just waiting for fourth quarter Fox to show up and then win them the game. I think he had like 3 points in the first half. No good. James and Carmichael.
He was just bad in the first half. I would not say he needed to be more aggressive. I'm looking at the first three quarters here. First quarter, De'Aaron Fox, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 0 points. At the end of the first half, he had 9 points. He was 3 of 11, 2 of 7 from 3. And then at the end of the third, he was 6 of 16, 3 of 8, 18 points.
This
so it was just
be
a really inefficient night. I don't know if he needed to press.
This might be a little bit of a basic take, but I would like to – I'm sure we can find the splits somewhere. You know, a lot of guys, they just – when you see that first shot go in, it's time to cook.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we were at that game. They actually lost that game when he had 17 points. It was his birthday, I think.
Yeah,
70 points in the first quarter. So I wonder how much of this is – number one, he wants to make sure other guys get going. And then number two, then he takes his first shot or first couple shots. They don't go down. And Sabonis is kind of – he was besides the turnover, Sabonis was cooking. So maybe De'Aaron felt like he was in a weird spot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say that maybe taking out the part of that text about the first half, as far as the second half is concerned, could it be a blessing and a curse this whole – fourth quarter Fox clutch thing where everybody else is almost useless because it's just let's just wait for De'Aaron.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely blessing and a curse is definitely the way of putting it because it is I mean especially if he's A if he doesn't have it or B if he's just not playing on that night like it's a little bit like you can kind of feel a little bit of people looking around like this is normally the time where he kind of usually just takes it the rest of the way here. And, you know, Malik is somebody who's capable of stepping into that role, but it's not the same as De'Aaron. And I like the fact that he allows his teammates to kind of get involved in that first quarter. Cause to me, you just said it, but you almost know he's going to be able to get his offense when he needs to. Like he can just have a ridiculous second half and you know, he'll finish with 28 points and no problem. He's almost instant offense. So I think it's more valuable, like you said, to get those other guys going. If Sabonis has it going in that first quarter, let Sabonis cook, set the physicality. If Keegan's knocking it down, well, if he's knocking it down in the first, we need to keep him hot, keep him going, because we see how much different this team is when they're knocking down shots. So I don't have the biggest problem, but of course, on a night like last night, you know, if nobody else has it, that's when I would like De'Aaron to kind of recognize it and take over. But I didn't feel like last night was one of those nights where it just kind of felt like De'Aaron had to take over. I mean, I asked you yesterday, too, like, if you were the coach, would you rather your stars take you through the way of bad teams, or do you feel like your stars are more important on a night like when you're playing the Magic and, you know, you kind of need more all hands on deck? And I don't know. To me, I felt like last night, De'Aaron could have gone crazy. Sure, it would have helped, but I think that they were kind of let down by the other guys. It felt really similar to that Portland game in that aspect where I felt like De'Aaron and Domas brought it. They brought the necessary – at least counting stats to win the game. I look at the other guys and I'm like, okay, their third leading scorer was Chris Duarte with 12.
That's
and then again, it brings the Keegan Murray conversation. Keegan had 10 points last night. Mm-hmm. Like without Brandon Miller playing, that should be what's the problem here?
Man.
And then, I mean, HB, we don't need to get back on the HB train, but for that dude to finish with 3 points, like, what's that about?
And that's why even just sitting here and saying they called that timeout and they came out and De'Aaron takes a mid-range jump shot and he hit, I think, the side of the rim or something like that. But I don't even want to talk about that because you just shouldn't have been in that situation at all. And to the Hornets, honestly, to the Hornets, they were diving like crazy on every screen.
Yeah.
They were just flopping everywhere, yeah. right? Yeah. And I believe somebody got fined on the Hornets a really? Couple games ago. But I don't blame them. When you've lost 11 yeah,
you gotta,
straight,
you got to pull out all the
you
tricks.
You might need
right?
to play dirty. Yeah. I don't really care. You might need to go Bush League a little bit to get that W. And it worked because Sabonis couldn't set a screen. And, you know, shame on the rest for not seeing it. They were just diving on everything. Mm-hmm. This is bad basketball.
It was really bad.
This is first.
Yesterday was the worst basketball game we've seen all year.
This is first game yeah. outside. Pick up Saturday morning. Everybody's still yeah. half asleep.
Yep.
And
8:30.
8:30. You go to 21, and then somebody shows up there, the 11th man. Yep. You got to wait an hour because everybody's bricking it everywhere. That's what last night was. Let's go to Scooter Scoot 916 that wants to be a part of the conversation. 916-339-1140. Scooter, what you got for us?
First, guys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Sans last night, but let's. I want to go back. Forget about last night, if you can. My original question when I called was going to be: is this team what it is? Like I equate it to think about the 107 game win season for the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. Almost every player on that team was overachieving that year. Did we just overachieve last year on the Kings, and this is what the team is? And, I mean, you look up and down the lineup, you've got Fox and Sabonis who are going to do what they're going to do, and other people need to get involved. I mean, obviously the Herter issue is a big problem, but is that who Herter is? HB, is that who HB is? You know, do we need to reconstruct the role players to get to that next level? That's my first question. The second question that I have is, while it's fun watching Fox do what he does in the fourth quarter, it's fantastic. Is there too much of that going on, and we're depending too much on him doing that rather than getting other guys more involved late in the game? Because in my mind, when teams start keying on him, which it looks like they're starting to do. Now he has to shuffle the ball off to other guys who haven't shot the ball in 5 or 6 minutes, mm-hmm. who are likely going to be cold. Well, now you have the rest of the team who isn't contributing because they're missing shots because they're cold. I'm just wondering if there's too much of the solo ball Fox going on. And let me be clear, I'm not dogging on Fox.
Right.
I mean, again, I love watching that. But I'm just wondering strategically if the rest of the guys need to be more involved in that fourth quarter rather than seeing just fourth quarter Fox and let fourth quarter Fox come out every once in a while, you know. Or is it just that the other guys have been so bad that he feels it necessary to be what he's been? Those are my two main issues. I don't have any problem with Brown. I think Brown's trying to do the best he can with the pieces he's got. My only thing on Brown has ever been, I feel like he's a little too stubborn with his rotations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thanks, Scoot. Always holding it down on the YouTube chat, the SAC chat, as we call it. And for the De'Aaron Fox thing, I think both things can be true. I think that De'Aaron does feel like, okay, I got to take over. But sometimes at the same time, it's, hey, well, you have to take over because other guys haven't gotten to shoot in a while and things like that. Maybe the question is the fourth quarter thing happening as organically as it was last season? Or does it feel a little bit more forced this season? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I think last year, if anything, felt more forced. I'm looking at the last 5 minutes of yesterday, and it is a lot of De'Aaron Fox. I mean, I'm seeing De'Aaron checks in at like 5:30, and for Davion Mitchell takes like, I think I see 6 shots here, and then 2 from Malik, 1 tip in from Sabonis. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. So I do think, but I will also say it's not uncommon. Yes, De'Aaron is heavily utilized in the fourth quarter, especially down the stretch, but that's what all great teams do. All teams at the last 5 minutes it's really only, like, in terms of the offense running through somebody, it's usually one person, and then everybody just kind of spaces the floor. You'll run a pick and roll. Everything just kind of simplifies in the last 5 minutes. That's where the stars take over. That's where De'Aaron's going to look for his little mid-range jump shot. I think that that's fine. Like, I think that him and Malik do have a good split of, okay, it's going to be De'Aaron trying to take it ISO, or it's going to be Malik running a pick and roll with Sabonis, or Malik just standing out in the corner. I mean, Malik took like a 30-footer yesterday with like a minute left that I thought was a terrible shot.
Oh, in the first?
In the fourth quarter at the end of the first quarter.
That was terrible.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible. That's how I knew Malik was just trying to show out against his old team.
He got benched.
It was nuts. But to Scooter's first point as well, like, is this just how good this team is? I think the 107-win Giants team is a really, really good comp. I would say yes. Like, I would say this is how good this collection of guys can be. Now, can they make moves? Sure. I will also say, though, Kevin Huerter's playing really bad. Like, really, really bad. He can shoot better just by being the Kevin Huerter we've seen him be. He's being uncharacteristically bad. I think that goes a long way for this team just looking more like the team they did last year.
But I do think, to Scooter's point, in that 107 win season, the Giants had the most, it was either in the league or the history, the most pinch hit home runs, right?
Sure. Yeah,
not
yeah.
scalable,
yeah.
not something no. that you can plan on. And I'm looking here at Kevin Huerter's numbers. Okay, last season was the first season he eclipsed 40% from three.
Yeah.
Before that, he had got the closest he got was 38.9 his last season with the Hawks. And when it comes to his field goal percentage, that was 3 points higher. He shot 48% from field goal, 3 points higher than his second highest in his career, and scoring 3 points higher than any other time in his career. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe Kevin Huerter isn't the guy he is last season, but he also can't be the guy he is this season right now. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will have the sound from Mike Brown and Malik Monk's exchange. More of your calls, more of your texts. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you to, we see Emmy here on the text line. Happy New Year to you, Emmy. Also hoping Sasha gets more minutes. Yes, I mean, after a situation like last night, you got to try something. We're seeing on the Sack Chat, free Kobe Jones. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. Can someone bring up Ford? Can we get a free Ford hashtag as well? We want everybody available.
I got a question when it comes to Stockton and the G League players. Like, so Keon's already got a bunch of run with the Kings. Is bringing up Kobe playing him, does that create any issues for the Kings? Like, nothing, right? It's all on an individual basis, correct? It's not like you can only play a Stockton or a G League player so much in the player, you know.
Right.
They have a games limit where it's like, if you're on a two-way contract, I think it's 50 games.
But it's individual, correct? It's not,
it's not
based
collective.
On.
No,
yeah.
It's not
so
like
you can bring up the
20.
Whole Stockton team and they're as long as, you know.
As long as it's under 50 games,
I don't know why you would do that.
No, there's absolutely no reason to.
All right, just checking.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the Keon situation. Yeah, I mean, I'm just, is it whether it's a flow of the game or whatever it is, Davion, I got to say, Davion Mitchell, I think I figured this one out, Chris. It's not about getting to the cup, okay? That man has no touch. He's got no touch on his layups. I saw him smoke at least 2 to 3 layups last night. He can get to the cup.
He's small, though. I mean,
No,
I
know,
that's really
but
what,
that's why... That's why Kyrie, why it looks so pretty when Kyrie finishes. I know Steph is a little bit taller, but Steph as well. And Tyrese Maxey, I saw him with a nice jelly layup yesterday when I was watching the Sixers game. Davion, he doesn't like getting to the cup because he does not have any touch at the rim.
Yeah.
And that's not really his fault.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's just limited. But I'm like,
and
okay.
He's not very creative. I mean,
I know he's fast.
To your Kyrie point, too, he's not really creative. Like, if you're going to be that small, you have to be really creative around the rim.
It just feels like when he gets to the cup, number one, he's a bit surprised.
Yeah.
And number two, he just kind of chucks it up.
Yeah.
And I just was thinking about that because I'm just thinking, okay, not that we see Keon drive to the lane and do things as well, but I'm just trying to see, okay, what can Davion
bring right.
this team? He got to the cup a couple times because it's not all just about the threes, but he cannot finish. He cannot finish.
No, it's tough for Davion. I mean, it's a weird situation where he's definitely fast enough to get to the rim, but to your point, like he can't – once he gets there, it's kind of tough for him to be a threat, and he's been – I think doing a much better job of, but like it felt like
he tried to dunk yesterday.
He did, yeah. He got swatted. He did. It was a
we
sick
got fouled.
Pass
he got fouled.
Yeah. I think it's just tough for him because he's trying to find the balance of like what's the right diet of threes versus attacking the rim, because Keon really didn't put the ball on the ground at all. He didn't attack the rim at all. It was really only open threes. I just think it's going to be tough for Davion to really find his offense in general, in this offense specifically. I think if he runs pick and roll, he can operate through that a little bit more. But when he's just driving the lane, it's really tough for a guy who's as short as he is.
Yeah.
Just is.
All right, let's get to
Isaiah
this.
Isaiah Thomas so sick.
Well, right. Well,
he was able to finish.
You have to work on your English.
Absolutely. And you got to be strong enough.
Davion's a strong dude.
Yeah, but like Isaiah Thomas, like looked like his arms looked like Popeye. Like he was massive.
You can give him a call. He's still looking to play.
He definitely
get a free Isaiah Thomas.
He's definitely available for sure.
And he's ready. He will be on a plane tomorrow. All right, let's get to the Mike Brown sound. So let's lay this out first.
Yes.
If you were maybe listening here at Sactown Sports, the flagship, or if you happen to miss what happened, I wouldn't call it a huge deal, but essentially Malik Monk gets in the game after his wild three-point shot in the corner, and he also turned the ball over a couple times with some sloppy passes. He was playing his former team, as Chris had mentioned. He was essentially benched. He had played 5 minutes in the first half. Mm. Gets in the game, makes one or two three. Was it after the second
three?
I think
he hit one. It might have been two threes. It was either one or two threes.
Right. So after one of the threes he hits, he chirps. And listening to the broadcast with Katie and Mark, I think they were also confused because
they caught it on the broadcast.
Mark said, I just remembered. Mark said, Malik Monk looks over to his bench for approval. That's what he said.
Okay.
So nobody knew what happened.
Yeah.
And then a couple different TV media outlets went on and found they had different angles of it, and Malik is saying something to the bench and kind of to Mike Brown, wasn't really sure. So Mike Brown was asked about it. And was it Brendan who asked this question?
Matt George.
Matt George asked this question, and this is what Coach Brown had to say.
Yeah, no, it's heat of the moment. Malik and I think everybody has seen it, but Malik and I have gotten into exchanges before. This is not the first time, and I bet a lot of money it won't be the last time. So that's not a big deal. You're right. The first five out there, I thought they initially did a good job. And then, you know, once we made subs, I we were throwing underhand passes, and in my opinion, probably one of the laziest, loosest games that we've had, where we decided to play that way, you know, and it gave them confidence. And anytime you give an NBA team confidence, especially with, you know, they struggled scoring, they're missing a handful of guys, but they're NBA players, and it's an NBA team. And Cliff does a nice job with that group. He continues to get them to try to play hard. But when you give a team confidence like we gave them tonight, things like that can turn into a loss.
Yeah, so I wouldn't take that as a shot back at Malik, but he did a little bit later after he talked about the exchange, said sloppy passes, underhand passes, because that is exactly what Malik did.
Yeah.
And one had a little bit too much mustard for Sabonis, and Sabonis fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
and that was a turnover. And that whole stretch right there was the last that we saw of Malik Monk in the first half. And then I want to know what Malik said to him. And a lot of people have said on the text line and in the SAC chat has said maybe Malik was saying, stop starting Chris Duarte over me. I highly doubt it.
I very much doubt that.
But what do you think? And look, it's not on us to judge a relationship whether you think it's healthy or not. But I do think it's a little unique, right? And to have to answer those questions, I do think it's a bit unique. Can you think of another team and coach, right? And I know I don't know if you want to consider him a player's coach or not. I probably would.
Yeah.
But just the idea of the chirping, and you had the Keegan Murray, which ended up funny because they won.
Yeah.
Right? Flipping him off.
Totally.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little say off my lawn here.
Nothing. Okay. I think it's nothing. Especially, like, I think Mike Brown's probably laughing. He's like, y'all know I used to deal with Draymond Green.
Right.
Like, that's also true. You think this little thing is something? This is casual. I could have this kind of conversation all day. I mean, to be serious, I think Malik and Mike Brown do have, like, a great understanding of each other. Like, I don't think there's any scarring of that relationship. I just kind of think that's how those two are.
There was a pat on the back later on in that clip.
And Malik finished the game. Yeah, like, it's not like it was so bad that Mike Brown's like, you know what? Forget you then, man. Yeah. Like, you're going to upstage me as a coach. Like, sit on the bench the rest of the game. Whatever. Like, he let him play in the second half. He finished the game. Clearly, it's not much of nothing, but we've seen this before. Like, we saw them in training camp have that moment that went viral where he's like, Malik, if you do this, I'm gonna lose my top. Like, and he yells at Malik in front of everybody, in front of media. It didn't matter. I think those two are just really hot headed, and they understand that it's just kind of who both of them are. I don't think either of them take it personally. I think both of them actually kind of like that they challenge each other.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Just sometimes to me,
if it were with Keegan, that would be a different story.
Okay. Well, if you're the cool parent, okay, sometimes things can go too far. So I just hope that nothing goes too far, because you're the cool dad.
For sure.
Until it's time to, hey.
Right. Son, I thought you was cool.
Yeah, son, go clean your room. Hey, dad, I thought we were cool. Well, we're cool, but go clean your room.
I'm still your dad.
And now there might be an issue with that dynamic. From Cole G on the SAC chat. In sports, things get said between coaches and players in the heat of the moment all the time.
From Matthew Henson,
it comes across like a father-son relationship, to be honest. Yeah. So it probably is much ado about nothing, or it's something, but it's just something
it's a little bit of nothing.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation. And if you haven't lost your lunch yet, we're about to go over the Kings' free throw percentages. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. In Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A little bit of news here outside of the Kings before we get into these free throw percentages. The Brooklyn Nets, this is per Woj, of course. The Brooklyn Nets still want to build around Mikal Bridges. Mm. This is a quote. I believe Brooklyn's intent remains to build and add talent around him. If that was on anybody's, if his name was on anybody's board, I didn't hear too much with the Kings. It was more of a It was more of a he'd be nice, but
super nice.
Probably not gonna happen. It's been really weird out there in Brooklyn. We saw them come to Sacramento, and it was the Cam Thomas show.
Right,
feels like they don't have the right piece. They're a team with a bunch of wings, which you've seen it work with the Thunder, not really working with the Nets because you have. I don't know what Cam Thomas is. I don't even know if he's a wing or not. But there seems to not really be a good pecking order in Brooklyn, and they're going to have to figure that out. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if it's Cam Thomas that gets moved, because people see their eyes light up at those those scoring numbers and maybe somebody, and from Brooklyn's side, we can get somebody that's just a better fit.
Yeah.
Right? So, and Finney Smith as well, which is a name that Brendan Nunez, who we will have on at 12:30 along with Frankie Cardicelli for our Kings roundtable, will be the spiciest roundtable of the year. I can guarantee you that much. So they have him as well. So they got to make some, they got to make some decisions. This is from Jason Anderson. ESPN has picked up the January 12th game between the Sacramento Kings and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, no.
Time has been moved to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. They'll show up for that.
No, they're not. They're not.
Tyrese Maxey.
The Kings are not going to show up for that game.
Who is going to guard Joel
Embiid? Alex Len, I guess.
JaVale McGee.
I don't know. I mean, Philly is one of those. Philly and Boston have been two teams that have just had the Kings number for as long as I can remember. I seriously can't think of the last time where the Kings really, you know, had a even like split the series between those two teams. It feels like every single time, and it's just not even close. Every right. single game, it feels like they play. That's a complete blowout. So that did not make today better for me. But you know, I guess it's more recognition for the Kings, and I mean that's gonna be a fun matchup to see Tyrese Maxey and De'Aaron, but not gonna be a fun matchup to see, I think, the end result.
You know,
I don't mean to be too negative. Two weeks out from the game.
Right. But you have anxiety two weeks
already
out. We got a bunch more losses to get to before then. No, I'm kidding. Seriously. Yeah, so.
Better start winning games now.
You got it. That's what we're talking about. You're going to look back on these games when you still have these tough games. And I'm fairly sure that stretch, if I'm not mistaken,
brutal stretch.
They have the Bucks as well, right?
The Bucks. So they play Philly on that Friday. Mm-hmm. Then on Sunday, they play the Bucks. And then Tuesday, they play the Suns, who I think we agreed do not belong in the same tier as
you never know.
But that's not an easy game. That's still not an easy game.
Well, they lost to the Hornets, so I don't know if the tiers are tiering right now. And last bit of news coming from the football world to the Niners fans out there, and I guess this is going to be a fun game in a different way because the Rams, who, what was it, Nate? They didn't really care whether they got the 6 or 7 seed. They were locked in at both. They are starting Carson Wentz. Matthew Stafford has had a bunch of injuries throughout these last couple of years, so they're playing it safe. Who he play for, Carson Wentz on the Rams,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
still,
I think
I guess
everyone
Stetson
forgot.
Bennett didn't get it popping out there.
Well, he's like 35 years old, so.
Stetson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
So, he's a champion.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a That's champion. What he he's is. A 35-year-old champ.
That's right.
Who won
That's
it at right. 34.
And Bo Nix and Michael Penix, all those guys are a bit older, kind of doing their thing. So.
Brandon Whedon, all-stars.
Brandon Whedon, he ain't new to this. He true to this.
He's
started
like a rookie
that.
At 28.
I don't know who else the Rams have as their quarterback, because Carson Wentz, injury-prone guy,
What
too,
about Rippon?
I get is ripping their guy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Is that who they've been ripping it with?
Yeah. So I don't know if he. I don't know why they're deciding to go with Carson Wentz. Maybe because they want kind of a chance. But hey, or I guess I don't know what the Carson Wentz deal is. But maybe they're just doing him a solid. Hey, Tommy DeVito can get a shot.
Hey, they got Baker Mayfield a job this year.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. There's no way like. Brock plays a snap then, right?
I don't think so anymore.
Sure.
I know
Debo
yesterday
said
we played the sound.
He said it's Debo weather, but I don't know if it's Debo weather.
I don't know if it's not Debo weather for the whole game. And to me, the question becomes, what is the point of playing one quarter?
Especially if there's no way Trent Williams plays.
No.
So you're going to put
him
behind.
I don't know why you would start McCaffrey too, because
McCaffrey's already confirmed not playing.
There you go.
That was like instantly. Because, his calf. Just like who's gonna like? What's the point? I mean, stack some numbers for Ayuk maybe.
I say
there's
Ayuk
a lot
plays.
Of contract incentives this year. Like DeAndre Hopkins needs like 6 catches and 60 something yards to make like $350,000. So I know there's a lot around the league. I don't know how much pertains to the Niners, but that would be the only thing to look out for. Maybe I'll look that up.
Yes, but even so, you're not gonna do that. The Debo thing, that's tough. I don't know. I mean, Debo has been healthy this season, but you have so much on the line. What do you care more about? An incentive? Or because didn't Debo have – what was it? Doesn't Debo have the – I forgot all about – remember all the conversations we had before
about his contract.
The Niners had Christian McCaffrey about the wide back situation?
Right.
I did so much research, and now I can't even remember off the top of my head the incentives for him. It kicks in if he runs the football X amount of times. Well, so I don't even know if he hit that this season.
He also, I mean, his agent pretty much lied about not wanting to do that anymore. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
So I, you know what? Give me a second. I'll do some digging for you.
Do some digging. Yeah, I remember. I was sitting there making my own contracts. I thought I was going to be an agent, right? I had a lot going on. Okay, if they do this with Debo and they pay him X amount of dollars per run, how does that stack up? Yeah. So we will hear back from Nate on some of those numbers and any reasons. Really, the point of this exercise is to figure out if there are any legitimate reasons for any 49ers mm-hmm. to play this coming week, especially when the Rams are even saying, okay, we don't mind. We'll look it up on Friday when we do our kind of breakdown.
For those who don't know, let me get this number in here real quick. Just for those who aren't aware what the Rams are trying to position themselves into, David Lombardi puts this out. Would the Rams rather play Dallas or Detroit in the first round? A win over the Niners would likely mean the Rams would meet the Lions, and a loss would likely mean that the Rams would play the Cowboys.
So they're saying,
yes,
they are more worried about the Lions than the Cowboys. Well,
yeah, in a way. Yeah.
I agree, right?
This is actually great. No.
I would be more afraid of the Cowboys.
No, the Lions can't stop a nosebleed.
I guess this is coming as a Niners fan.
Yeah, if I'm the Rams, I think I probably do have a better chance against the Cowboys. Because I think Detroit's offense might be better than the Rams' offense. And defensively, it's probably a push.
Goff and Stafford, the NFL wants that.
I definitely think the NFL wants the Rams are a better offense.
If I am a Niners fan right now, I am ecstatic because you know you own the Cowboys. And the only team that people like Nate and others were worried about were the Rams. And I think the Cowboys handle the Rams. And then
You mean in the playoffs?
Yeah, your Rams issue is gone.
I think there's concern for other teams, but no like real worry for the
right. Playoffs. But the Rams would be gone.
Yeah,
the Rams would be gone. Now I would say I don't mind. I understand why McVay is kind of doing it. If we're going with the hiding playbooks thing, and we got to face the Niners, so we might as well. If we get to the Niners, we might as well not let them see our best and just power through. But it's all going to be on tape anyway. It's all going to be on film. I think it comes down to we think we have a better chance against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys, I mean, Cowboys are in a shootout every week, it feels like. Same thing happened to the Seahawks.
Unless they get blown out.
Somebody is scoring a lot. It might not be both of them. So, wow, that is really, really.
We can't forget, though, Matt Stafford's made of glass. I think if you're already locked into the playoffs, I think it's mission accomplished. Like let's not ruin our shot before we even get there.
Last time Niners played him too, didn't have Chase Young or Randy Gregory.
But it was a pretty close game.
That's a great point.
There you go. Yeah. All right, look, what's your Debo numbers?
So some Debo weather here. His incentives go from 23 to 25. I guess when he signed, so 22. Max of $800,000. $150,000 have already been met last year. He needed 3 rushing TDs in that whole contract. Got those within one season.
Oh, yeah.
The rest, the only more money, the $650,000 left is from getting 380 rushing yards throughout this whole contract. So no point for him to play. He can do that in the next year. Right.
Okay.
I don't know how much he has so far, but no point in playing this game to get 50 rushing yards or whatever. So that's all that's left for him.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but you know, he went on Up and Adams and initially said it, but at that time they did not think that.
That was right off the win. I mean, that was a day later.
Right. And again, as we've had some of these conversations with, hey, don't let De'Aaron guard the best player, right? There's players that play and then there's coaches that coach. So I think it all comes down to what that coach wants to do. A little bit of a different situation. It's hard to tell somebody, hey, go check somebody. We don't want you. Because the thing is, if you want De'Aaron to be that MVP caliber player, you want him to be known as a two-way guy.
Oh, yeah.
But not,
it's definitely part of it.
Not to the detriment of your team. No disrespect to De'Aaron. But Terry was just cooking last night. Just send some traps. That's it. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will have those free throw numbers. We are also beginning to preview the Orlando Magic. And at 12 o'clock, we will have Wendell Epps, who does Orlando Magic Radio and announcing for the Orlando Magic. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Watkins. Taking you up to 2 p.m., we will be joined by Wendell Epps, producer for Orlando Magic Radio. That is in about 15 minutes to let us know what we should be worried about as the Kings take on the Magic. Second half of a back-to-back. And this was their first, oddly enough, they haven't won the second half of a back-to-back, but last night was their first time losing
right.
the first half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, it really throws away the entire plot or whatever narrative line of following, oh yeah, okay, can the Kings take advantage of, or not take advantage, but can they, you know, play well on the second night of a back-to-back? Well, I guess we'll have to wait for the next one because this one feels like, I mean, if you win the second night but lose the first night, then you kind of just did what you normally do, but backwards. And I guess there is something to, hey, you guys played last night. Like, there's still something left in the tank for the second night. Like, that's something you can maybe take on. But, I mean, realistically, I mean, the point was to figure out how to win both sides of the back-to-back. And it's even, you can maybe even argue, I think you said, the next back-to-back is a Charlotte-Detroit back-to-back.
Yeah.
You could argue, like, okay, even if the Kings get that done, that's kind of about
I'll
as
take
easy.
It.
You'll definitely take it, but that's about as easy as a back-to-back as you're going to get. It's not like that's, okay, now we have a Nuggets Clippers back-to-back. Well, we won the last one, so we should have learned something to take into the, like, it's, you know, you kind of ruined your opportunity here to learn something.
The next back-to-back,
well, I hope they learned something,
is January 9th, Tuesday, and then January 10th, Wednesday. They
next
play
week.
The Pistons in Detroit, and then they play the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay, I mean,
both
that's not nothing. It's you know, you're traveling, yeah, both on the road.
They're going to overlook the Pistons because they want to get their get back against the Hornets and lose to the Pistons. Trying to see when
don't
the next
put
one
that
is.
Out there. Don't put that out there.
Couple more. The next one.
It was scary enough when the Pistons were on the losing streak. Now it's just like, I mean,
it's
it doesn't even matter.
Right?
Yeah, it's still as bad.
Uh-oh, the next one. February 2nd.
Okay.
And February 3rd.
Okay.
At Pacers, at Bulls.
Okay. Those are, so, are those homes?
Away.
Those are away.
So the next two back-to-backs are away. You already had two at home, and you tricked off both.
Right.
So,
I mean, at least those are easier ones than, you know, what's been happening in the past. Like, those definitely are, you know, the Bulls are, especially who knows what the Bulls are going to look like at that point in the season.
Exactly.
That's like a week before the trade deadline. So they could be a completely stripped down team at that point. But yeah, I mean, it's just disappointing. You had a real opportunity here to actually, you know, pick something up. And again, as has been the story throughout this season, you could have had so much good momentum heading past this game that you really could have brought. You keep talking about separation, how now is the time when teams are really starting to separate themselves, even if it is just two or three games. It goes a long way in the long run. And yeah, I mean, the Kings had a really good opportunity to put themselves the right foot forward, and it just kind of feels like they're you know, right back to the start line. And you know, it's fine. They can still you know, pull together a really good month, and they can still win tonight and have a good win to take out of this back-to-back, but it's just not what you needed.
No, and the last one I'll go over, this is at the end of February, a very bizarre stretch for the Kings. They have their – this is actually rough, man. So they go – Kings at home – or sorry, Nuggets at home, okay – after that, that's February 9th. February 11th, they have the Thunder in OKC. February 13th, they're at the Suns. Are they going to play the Suns 18 times?
Seems like
the New Warriors. After that, that's a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's tough.
At Suns, and happy Valentine's Day, Chris. I hope you have good plans. At Nuggets, that's the back-to-back, the 13th and the 14th. After that, they get a random break where they play the Spurs at home.
Oh, that's All-Star break.
That's All-Star break.
Yeah.
And then after that, they come back from All-Star break with another back-to-back at Clippers, and then the Kings play the Heat at home.
Interesting. So there's a couple more. What? That's three more back to backs.
Three more back to backs, and they're all. Ugh. The last one is a hybrid one.
Right.
But the other two are on the road.
I mean, yeah, this team they've got to figure it out. I mean, even especially. I mean, I guess beggars can't be choosers. I'll take it against inferior opponents, but mm-hmm. you know, to me, they've got to figure it out. And I mean, I guess now. You know, we have to worry about the first night. So back to backs now too, because
the first one.
you can't overlook an opponent on the first night just because you are, you know, so focused on trying to get that second night hump off your back. You can't just drop the first night. And I mean, that's part of what makes back to back so hard. It's not just, you know, it's not just the second night. It is also trying to have the proper attention for both games. And you know, it's one of those things that, again, the great teams in the league really don't have that big of a problem with back-to-backs. Of course, it's still going to be an issue. No one's going to be perfect on back-to-backs, but really great teams, you know, it's not really something that's a big talking point. It feels like it's one of the biggest talking points with the Kings this year.
Right, when you can't get it done. And the last time they faced the Suns, it was part of a back-to-back because they had the Suns on Friday and then they had the T-Wolves on Sunday. So two times where the Suns are just good enough to annoy you and then you get a really good team after that as they had the T-Wolves and then are going to have the Nuggets. And that's further down the road. Let's get to these numbers here, Chris, because the Kings are the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
They sure are.
At 73.2%. And you have De'Aaron Fox, who is at, and I'm trying to make sure I don't, I'm just double checking here. And I literally had to double check to make sure I didn't write this incorrectly. De'Aaron Fox is at 71.6% from free throw.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Domas is at 65.7%. Mm. So they're really the guys anchoring the whole team because they're taking the most free throws.
Yeah, by far.
I don't really know what to make of this. Some people have said, going back to the practice thing, oh, is it legs? Is it this? Is it that? I don't know. But all I know is that they're not going to make somebody an MVP unless your name is Shaquille O'Neal shooting 71%. Not as a guard. That's awful.
No, it's awful. I mean, it's really, really bad. And I think I'm not blaming anything except for the guys. Like, those guys are just both really bad free throw shooters. I mean, especially when you consider De'Aaron Fox being a guard. He is one of the worst guard free throw shooters, if not the worst guard free throw shooter in the NBA. Like, he is at the, unfortunately, he's like Russell Westbrook level of bad free throw shooters. And when you take seven a game and, you know, your team, you know, takes a total of like 22, you're going to bring down the numbers. And then Domas on top of that, like Sabonis, his best free throw shooting year was 75% in his second season. He's at 65% on 5.5 attempts. So the two of De'Aaron and Domas take more than 50% of the team's free throws, and they're both horrible. And that's going to completely anchor your team. I mean, it's not like anyone else gets to the line reliably every single night. You might get one trip from Malik. You might get one trip every other game from HB and Keegan, but really, when a majority of your free throws are coming from those two dudes and they're missing, you know, 40%, 35% of their shots from there, it's going to drag down the entire team. And I've been saying it almost, it feels like, after every single game on the live stream. At some point, the Kings are just going to straight up lose a game because they missed free throws. And I'm really fearful that it's going to end up being a playoff game.
Give me your guess. I know we're up against it. Give me your guess for Russell Westbrook's career free throw percentage. Because I'm assuming you know De'Aaron's.
No, I don't. I actually don't know De'Aaron's career.
Do, we'll
76.
Both.
I would say, no, there's no way. I would say
Too high.
Okay. I would say Russell Westbrook is a 73% free throw shooter. And that's about as high as I would be willing to guess.
Russell Westbrook, I'm assuming, shooting a lot less free throws now. Free throw percentage for this season.
Oh, okay. For this season.
No. Hold on. Okay. I'm doing both.
Oh, okay.
63%.
Yikes.
Russell Westbrook over his career, 77.6%.
Oh, wow.
De'Aaron Fox,
Oh, man. Career? Let's guess this one.
Mm-hmm. I would guess like 73%.
I'm going to say 74.
73.4%.
Okay.
Wow. So barely. I barely get that one.
Barely. So,
wow. So he is actually significantly worse than Russell Westbrook as a free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's super dangerous. I mean, and that's getting towards the territory. We haven't gotten to this serious of a playoff round, but I'm not joking. And I don't know. Maybe De'Aaron does say when they matter, he hits them. Shaq used to say the same exact
thing. He said that?
I don't know if that's a direct quote, but he has insinuated like, yeah, I know, you know, I'm not great at free throw shooting, but he's said like he's acknowledged it's a problem for him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it just takes a little bit more focus. I just need to slow down. And yeah, essentially big ones all knocked down. But man, I mean, when your numbers are that bad, you're seriously like stepping into intentional foul territory.
I mean, you're pretty close.
Yeah.
You're pretty close to...
Especially Sabonis,
I'm going to foul you hard.
And that gets you... That's the type of thing that gets you off the floor in a playoff
exactly.
series.
Exactly. And like I said, the MVP talk, can you imagine if De'Aaron was shooting? Can you give a 75, 77,
yeah.
dare I say 80%?
Let me see what he shot in the playoffs.
Then you'd be in those conversations. Yeah, I'm sitting here...
Last year in the playoffs, 75%.
All right.
On just under 6 attempts per game.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And he shot 78% from the free throw line during the season last year. So technically took dropped. A step back in the playoffs, technically.
I don't know if this matters, but what do you guys think Rajon Rondo's all-time career percentage is?
Oh, that's terrible. That's near 70, if not lower than
70. I'll say 75.
61.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, Rondo was like
I tried
really
to think of the
terrible.
Worst.
Wow.
I mean,
as a point guard, championship point guard, two-time champion.
Yeah.
61.
Huh.
Yeah. And
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. I'm looking here and I'm just trying to figure out what you even do. Okay. Again, if you're just now listening, thank you for listening. Free throws, the Kings are the worst in the league at 73.2%. De'Aaron Fox is shooting 71.6% from free throw land. And Domantas Sabonis is shooting 65% from free throw. And that's one of those things that might be one of the worst issues to have because it's the toughest to fix because you don't really know what you can do. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will hear from Wendell Epps, producer for the Atlanta Magic Radio, also is an announcer for the Atlantic Magic G League team. He will get us ready for what to expect from the Orlando Magic tonight, coming off a loss. They've lost 7 of their last 10. They lost last night to the Warriors. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.